Are you looking for a practice coach? If you are, go to ptpracticesuccess.com. At the very top of the page, there's a button. Just click on that to find out more. Welcome to the PT Practice Success Podcast. My name is Sean Kirk, CEO of PT Practice Success. In this podcast, we're going to be going over a variety of different things that can help you with your practice. I hope you enjoy what's coming. Welcome to today's podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about staffing, finding them, keeping them, and providing opportunity for them. Here's a key question I always like to ask is, would you work for you? Many years ago, I was delivering a workshop and it was on hiring and team building. And there was quite a few people there. And on a break, there was this guy who I don't recall, and I don't think I ever saw him again. But he was talking to me about, his staffing needs. And he was very critical of clinicians, physical therapy in general. People don't know what they're doing. My staff treat a certain way. They only do these techniques because I train them very specifically on these things. And I have zero tolerance for anybody stepping out of line. And he's like coming at me. And I don't even know why. I'm just looking at him, right? He's talking to me like I'm somebody else. And like he's barking at me like, what is his expectations? Like, I'm going to take a job with him. It was hilarious. But I'm listening to this guy. And when he finally came up for air, I said, hey, do you mind if I ask you a question? Yeah, sure. Would you work for you? And without hesitation, he goes, oh, hell no. I'm an asshole. I go, yeah. Wonder why you're having trouble. You're an asshole, right? And, it kind of like, when I called him out as being an asshole, he kind of looked at me a little startled that I would say such a thing. And I said, man, I don't think I'd make it through an interview with you unless I'd love to be beaten, right? And so this guy lacked, the granting of importance of people, significantly lacked the granting of importance to people. And so his ability to find people, of course, was very poor. And he should just instead of coming on a workshop, find somebody else to do his recruiting. But the fact was, would you work for you? So since that particular moment in time, probably about 10 years ago, I have said that many times when I'm talking to clients and would-be clients when it comes to recruiting. I listen to what they're doing, what they have to say, how they go about it. And then I just kind of ask them, not because they're being an asshole, just because they're not winning and they're not able to get people on board. So sometimes they might have a consideration themselves as to why it wouldn't be a good place to work. And so I'd say, would you work for you? And they start to answer me really quickly. And I kind of cut them off for a second. And I said, well, wait a minute, I want to really think about this. If you were a PT, would you work for you? And then they really kind of get pensive for a moment and they think it through and they'll go, well, I think I would. And then I would say, but we don't do much as a team, or they give you what they consider to be the objection, why it wouldn't be such a great place to work. We're very remote. There's not much around us. You pretty much have to like living in the country, away from light and industry to be able to work here. And they're giving you all the objections, even though they said, I would work there. And those objections that they're rattling around in their head are probably the objections or the reasons why people perhaps wouldn't take a job with them. So it's important to dig in and take a look at why you wouldn't work for you. Many years ago, I had a client who was selling his practice and coming to work for me in my consulting company. And he had sold his practice and he was in the process of selling his home and moving, to Florida, my office. And he's a PT. And what happened was he was having a heck of a time selling his house. And no one would come look at it. No one would see it. So, I called him and I was talking to his wife and I said, why wouldn't anyone buy your house? And this lady goes on. She says, well, we have a nice home, but it's not in a family-friendly area. There's traffic that comes in and out of it. You know, there's no kids in the neighborhood. No one's out riding their bikes, you know, because of where our home is. It's really set up for a family. You know, we've got four big bedrooms. And so, you know, you're going to get people with a family and it's not a good place for a family. I went, wow, well, I'm definitely not buying your house. And I said, well, if you think that way, you're not going to sell your house. It is fascinating. If you change your mind about things, things can begin to change, right? Years ago, there was a lady from Atlanta that came to one of my workshops. She says, you know, I can't find good people. I go, you can't find good people? She goes, no, I can't find good people. So what do you mean you can't find good people? I can't find good people. No matter what I do, I can't find good people. I said, wait, do you think you're on an island as the only good person? Of course you can find good people. Maybe you should change your mind about that. So she did. And she found people. So sometimes it's simple things. It does make a difference. But if you think it's going to be hard, it will be. If you think it'll be easier, you got a chance, you know? So let's dig into a couple of points that I would kind of strongly recommend that you look at when you're recruiting for people, right? First, get in the mindset that they're out there and they want to work for you. And then if you don't feel that you would work for you, do what you need to do within your company to make your practice a place where you would work if you were a clinician. What is it about it that you think is non-optimum? Maybe it's, you know, you don't have staff meetings and you don't coordinate and you got multiple offices and nobody knows each other, right? And maybe you just don't do anything socially. Maybe you don't have any kind of compensation system that rewards over and above activity. Maybe you're not inspiring. Maybe you're not providing any opportunities for expansion. Maybe you think that if you just pay people more money, they'll stay, but you're not providing an environment that's comfortable and fun to work in. Or perhaps you're not sitting down with your clinicians particularly and talking about their career goals and what they'd like to accomplish. Some of these guys might want to go into private practice. Well, that would be an interesting thing to hear. So could that person grow up to be a clinic director or a partial owner or something like that? Maybe you don't know. I run into that a lot when I go in and out of offices. I'll talk to guys that are in their, you know, 60s and they're thinking, you know, wonder about selling, looking at my opportunities for exit. And I'll say, well, do you have any staff that might have an interest in, you know, throwing down and coming into this practice, maybe as a junior partner working their way up? And they go, I don't have any idea. You don't have any idea. Like, how disconnected can you be to the people you work side by side with every day? Right? So take a moment, take a look. Is there anybody on your team that could be taking on a bigger role that'll help your company grow and expand? Leverage their assistance. It is important that your staff feel a real belonging to your practice. And it's something that you have to continuously create. I talked to one of my clients, just 2 days ago is what led me to think about this particular podcast. And he's got this therapist who's just an amazing guy, a new grad, good workhorse, loves what he's doing, who suddenly pulled the owner aside and expressed some concerns about, you know, the future and his position and the growth opportunities and other things like that. And it left the owner with a little bit of unsteady feeling like, whoa, gosh, this guy I thought was a steady Eddie. But, you know, they were both putting their head down. They were getting to work. They were doing their job, but they just weren't checking in on each other, right? And or particularly the owner checking in on his clinician. We're not going to lose the guy. We're going to handle that just fine. But, you know, we can take advantage of people, just like if I have relationships and marriages where you kind of take advantage of each other. You just kind of assume the love is there without, like, making sure the love is there, right? So the same thing works with staff. So let them know you love them. Let them know you care for them. And provide an opportunity for them. So there's three things I like to look at when it comes to retaining staff. I mean, one is the work environment, the company culture, right? What makes you stand out as being the coolest place in town, right? So the company culture I look at is very, very important. And like looking at how you can build upon what you already have, or like what culture? We just go to work and treat patients and go home and hopefully get our notes done on time. That's not a culture. Step it up, okay? The second thing is, are you sitting down with your staff and working on opportunities? Are you sitting down with them and going, and you have a strategy for them to get certain certifications if that's where their interest lies? Are you skimpy on your con ed? Sometimes you can throw a little bit of con ed at somebody and save yourself $10,000 in raises, right? So, but sitting down and actually enhancing them as a clinician and finding out where their opportunities are. Some guys might want to go out on their own. Some guys might want to be a clinic director. Some guys might be at the max of their pay level. They've been with you a number of years and you're like, how do I make more money? And it's like, well, you ain't making it with me, you know? So it might be you can't make it anywhere else because you pay them so well. But then how do we provide another opportunity for that guy or gal to take your practice to another level and be rewarded for it? These things all come out when you're sitting down and having a strategy conversation about their career goals. In my practice years ago, I had a physical therapist that worked for me. He was just an amazing guy. His mom and dad were PTs, and he was a fantastic producer. And I just had my eye on him as being over operations and possibly being the CEO. I just kind of, in my mind, assumed that's his trajectory. That was where he wanted to go. I actually didn't sit down with him, but I was just absolutely certain because he was so on the ball and he was all about growing the business and it was all about, you know, delivering great care and staying busy and looking for opportunities and filling up open spots on the schedule. It's like, wow, what an owner viewpoint. And I was sure that's where his mind was until I sat down with him. And I said, Mark, you know, I'd like to talk to you about a possible growth opportunity of being over operations and maybe take over my role as a CEO. And he smiled and he goes, Sean, I love it here. I absolutely love it here. You know, I'm the top producer. Nobody outproduces me. And I go, well, that's absolute fact. And he goes, and I'm young and I like being a PT and I really don't want to be a manager. My mom and dad were PTs and managers and hospital directors. And I think they lost touch with what it's like just to treat patients and love the hell out of it. And I love it. So can't you just pay me more money and just let me treat a gob of patients because I love it? Okay, right? That's what I did. I paid him more money. You know, kind of wished I didn't have the conversation, to be honest. But I paid him more money. And he was just a real solid workhorse and real team player, but he did not want a management role. Some people you think you want to put into a management role because they've been there for a long time, or they're really a good clinician, like my staff member Mark, but they don't have the chops for it. And so they climb up into that position and they fail at it. So when you're sitting down and looking at career goals and what you want to accomplish, if anyone mentions anything about possible management or leadership, then it's time for you to like look at how you can educate, help that individual become a leader. You know, if they're not demonstrating leadership qualities, then don't even talk to them about how you can make them a leader. Talk to them about how they can develop their leadership qualities, right? A good leader in an organization doesn't have a title. You can just see them. They're leading the group and growing the company. Now, it's important to set expectations, intelligent expectations that lay out exactly what's needed and wanted, particularly of your clinical staff. I'm a big fan of defining quality care in an objective manner so that every clinician has a benchmark of which they can, you know, see how they're performing and their value. See, you have to assign, value to what one does. I mean, just yesterday I had a Facebook ad out and I think it was something about like how to, better your bottom line or make more money in your practice or something like that, right? And there was this guy who responded with, this is what's wrong with the profession. We're always so focused about how to make more money and blah, blah, blah. And it was a little bit moderately nasty. And then I look at the guy and he works for a hospital. My gosh, you work in a hospital. You're going to get reimbursed like 2 to 3x what the normal codes are for outpatient. And this guy's saying that I'm pushing a little bit too hard to get people to focus on the bottom line. So I responded to that and kind of let him know my point of view on that. So setting out a standard of care is very important. So like what you want your arrival rate to be, how frequently you want the patient to be coming into the practice, what your general visits to discharge should be, you know, and a variety of other things that you just kind of define them and then you begin to measure them. And you let the clinician measure his own numbers. Report them every week, right? You're there as a cheerleader, support the guy or gal, help them, guide them, validate them, recognize if they're working for you, they're on your team, they want to be there. So just blow a little sunshine their way, it'll go a long way. But when you don't set up the standards for delivery and you're trying just to be a nice guy and you're trying to make everybody like you, but you're not expecting production, you are going to have challenges. If you don't have them now, you will have them later. Year over year, we're not getting paid more, we're getting paid less. So we have to be very busy and yet friendly, kind, you know, goal-oriented, purpose-driven, respectful of others, granting importance to the other people who work for us, by and while, working hard. So, you know, there's not, in my opinion, a situation where everybody can just play around and you can still pay people what they want to be paid and really what they're worth. Just can't happen. But you can go the other way too. Sometimes you could be so focused on how do I get my numbers up? How do I, you know, I'm stressed over finances. You're communicating that out to your staff. Like, my gosh, we're making less money this year. The cuts with the PTA is killing us. My gosh, guys, we've got to be busier. You know, putting a whole crisis into their minds, right? To where, you know, they're like, I don't know about the security of the company that I work for. And then you ask the question, would you work for you? And you'd probably say no, because you're being an asshole, right? But on the other side, if you don't actually push productivity by and while their willingness to work and validating their willingness to work, you don't get to keep your team. So if you start people out from day one, managing their standards of productivity, getting them to know what you expect of them, and when they're hitting those benchmarks, they're a wonderful staff member and you can take better care of them. But when they're not hitting those benchmarks, you can't, even though you love them, right? So a few days ago, I was talking to a client of New Hampshire, a lovely lady I've worked with for probably 15 years or more. And she was talking about, like, you know, my PTs are at the top of the pay scale. They're making six figures. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out how I could pay them more. And I said, all right, well, they probably won't make any more money working somewhere else. And she said, probably, but they're valuable and I love them and I want to figure out how to make them more valuable. And I said, well, then I would figure out like a productivity for the clinic based on the number of FTEs they have, on like what is an acceptable level of production, like, you know, how many visits per FTE should be done in that clinic, and then pay them a handsome bonus if they're above that number. So maybe pay it out every month, or maybe pay it out once a quarter, but to give them a game. And you sit down with the director and you talk him or her through it, and you get them to see, like, okay, this is how you can increase your value, and I want to support you in that. Do you agree with that? And it's like, yeah, I guess I'm the clinic director. The clinic ought to be, you know, hitting the minimum benchmarks and productivity. Exactly. So anything above those benchmarks, we're going to be able to pay you more money. What we're paying you now is enough just to manage the headache of the facility, putting out fires, making sure people are reasonably productive. Now, if we can pull them together as a team, make them stronger, you know, more capable, more responsible to their productivity standards and the standard of care, then we're going to be in a better condition to take care of all of them and you, instead of just throwing money at you with the same level of productivity. And the problem of making the clinics busier falls onto me as the owner. If you can shoulder that burden, I can pay for that. And this lady went, I love it. So we worked out like a little simple graph kind of method of tracking that. And we're in the middle of launching that today. So when we're looking at would you work for you, you want to create an environment of happiness and joy where people do get along. You want to genuinely like your people. If you're hiring somebody that you really do not feel good about, you shouldn't hire them because they're going to be working for you. And if they're not showing their best face in an interview, then they probably are going to show you a worse face later. So don't hire them. I know you want to. I know it feels desperate, but I wouldn't do that. Now, another thing I want to just kind of dive into a little bit is we're all putting ads in LinkedIn or some place. We're just posting ads. And sometimes we have to take a more aggressive stance. I see this with practices who, you know, are constantly just, they'll just put ads out on Facebook or they'll post on their Facebook page, you know, but they don't have anybody beating on the doors and trying to get into physician offices, or, you know, they're not trying to put together events and bring people in for, you know, things. And they're not putting together like, you know, all your checkups are free and promoting heavily to their current, their past patients to get them to come in for a free checkup or refer a friend or put a QR code on a business card. They're not stepping over and above what they could be doing in the actions of getting new business. Well, the same thing goes with recruitment. It's like we post up our ads, the same ads we've been doing for the last whatever number of years you've been in practice. I look at some of these ads, I'm like, oh my God, you know, I don't want to work for you. So you write the ad, you think of it, like if everybody who looks for a job knows that there's probably a range in which they're going to be paid. It's not going to be a wild shift. There's not going to be $25,000 shift between what one guy offers and the next guy offers. It's going to be pretty comparable. And so with that, you want to be in a situation where when they see your ad, they're like, wow, what a cool place to work, right? How can you imbue your culture into the ad that you're posting, perhaps on Indeed, right? Another thing I would consider doing is if you really want to go for this is, you know, when you're hiring a recruiting company who is pretty cheap, what they typically do is low energy activity. They post ads for you. They post ads, and those ads don't work, and then they change the ads. Then they post another ad, and that doesn't work. And then, but if you, when you look at when you're paying a little more for a recruiter who is actually going to find people, search out, find people, friend people on LinkedIn, get them connected with you, schedule up like actively go after people, you know, you're going to get more applicants. Because if you look at the pool of physical therapists compared to the number of jobs that are available, already there's not enough physical therapists in business, in practice, to actually service the demand. And of the ones who are working, there's even a smaller percent of those people who are on Indeed or wherever looking for a job. So you have to do a little bit of outbound marketing. See if you can get a list of physical therapists and physical therapist assistants in your state and direct mail to them. You go, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money. It's like, yeah, but how much money are you losing if you have the volume, but you don't have the clinical staff, right? So lost income is, again, the money that you could have made, but you didn't. So if you're punched up against that, then I would recommend that you consider getting a list and direct mail to them. Now, if you're going to direct mail to them, one of the things you want to do is you want to push in that direct mail piece about how wonderful your opportunity is, right? Without getting a whole lot of detail. You don't write it like an ad. So you might say something like, hi, Joe, my name is Sean Kirk and I own ABC Physical Therapy. Look, I'm just reaching out to you. I hope that you're working, you know, in the job that you love. I mean, with the shortage of physical therapists that are out there, there's no reason for you to be doing something that you don't truly enjoy. I'm very proud of the company that we created, and I was wondering if maybe you'd be interested in finding out if the grass could be greener somewhere else. So if you would like to set up a confidential interview with me, I would love to talk to you. Again, I hope that you are where you want to be and you're happy where you are. But if not, please give me a call. Perhaps we have an opportunity that might fit perfectly for what you're looking for. Have a great day. Best, Sean. That's just off the cuff, right? So you have, but you see, it doesn't talk about like so many weeks of vacation or PTO or unlimited continuing ed or unlimited PTO or, you know, we give you a rose every Friday. None of that kind of stuff is there. It's just like communicating to the individual and you write the letter to one person. So that'd be one thing, getting a list and direct mailing to them, right? And then, you know, another thing too is like, hire somebody, either a recruiting company that's going to like dig up and find PTs for you on LinkedIn, friend them, you know, connect with them, whatever, and then join your network, right? And then say, hey, Joe, thanks for connecting with me up on LinkedIn. Hey, I hope you're into doing the job that you really like doing, but we're actively looking for somebody right now. Would you be interested in, is it possible that you know someone that might be looking for a physical therapy position? We've got a great group. We're really happy with them. Anyway, just checking in. And you don't ask if he's interested. You ask if they know anyone interested. And they may go, now it's less threatening. Like, do you want a job with me? I don't even know you. I just joined your network. So you say, would you know anyone? And then the person says, I'd be curious to know a little bit more. Well, why don't we hop on a call? Bam. Right? You're right there in the interview process. It doesn't cost you any ad time, but it costs you some grind, right? It's also something you can certainly have another person do, or you can hire a firm that'll do it for you, right? It's not so hard. If you want to know how to do it, let me know. But what I would say is like, you have to do something different. So if posting the ads is not working, change your ad to make it soft and warm and inviting, because all you're wanting is opportunities. That's all you want in marketing. You're looking for opportunities. You are marketing for clinicians. Push the opportunity, push the message that, we are a likable, lovely bunch of people. And we would love to have a conversation with you in a super non-threatening way without diving into tremendous details about the job, right? I have a client who sent me his LinkedIn ad, sent me his Indeed ad, and I read the Indeed ad and I was like, whoa, hardworking, production oriented, is willing to stay late if necessary in the best interest of the patient. I was like, honestly, all of you would have laughed if you read it, but it was what he was thinking. It was the right kind of culture, right? And that's not a good message to lead with, right? And he doesn't actually operate that way, just so you know. So he was thinking that he would get the right kind of guys that would really want to work hard and play hard and all that fun stuff, right? But so first, lighten, if you're on Indeed, take a look at your, if you're not pulling, take a look at your ad. Do something that no one else is doing, right? All you're looking at is an opportunity for a conversation. It's not like you're getting so many, oh, I'm flooded with 300 PT applicants. Oh my gosh, I better make it more restrictive to talk to me. No, like open the door wide, right? Doesn't even have a gate on it, right? And so have them reach in and talk to you. So friendly letter type of communication, direct mail, that same friendly, engaging communication. You could even put a QR code on the letter that allows them to go make an appointment right onto your schedule, right? Or go to a hiring landing page and then make an appointment right on your schedule, right? Go ahead and do that. That'd be easy peasy, like standing on your head easy. And then actually just get the list and find those people and cold call them at night. Call 10 PTs at night. So if you keep doing what you're doing and you keep getting what you've got, if you have a problem getting people, you got to ask yourself, would you work for you? How can I create an environment that's friendly, inviting, and driven, but excited about driving towards goals? How do I actually present with my team, or sit down with my team on an individual basis and find out what their needs and wants are professionally, so that they are growing and having more opportunities? It's not all money. I know people who will not do a performance evaluation for fear it equals a paycheck increase. Now stop that, right? There's many things you can do, but you should do in a performance appraisal. Or when you're doing a performance appraisal, it's only because you want to slap somebody silly. It's not because it's just time to do it, right? So really, when you the bad guys, when you decide someone doesn't fit on your team, they're not a good fit. They eat crayons and run with scissors and they're right on walls. You know, they quit on you. You usually don't have to fire them. When you decide they're gone, they usually are working their way out the door. It's the ones you're not paying attention to. The guys that are workhorses that are doing the job, that are paying attention to what the goals are of the company and they're getting behind it and trying to make it go. Those are the guys that just suddenly go, you know, this wasn't working out for me. I found another job somewhere else. It's a little more amenable to my hours and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, I didn't see it coming. You didn't see it coming because you weren't paying attention to it. So you have to pay attention to it. Thanks for being on today's podcast. I hope you got something out of it that you can use, put back into your clinic. Key things is like, how can I make my environment such that I would absolutely work at my own practice versus anywhere else as a PT, not as an owner? Okay, step that up. Sit down with your clinicians, find out what their career goals and help them achieve them. Set reasonable production standards of, I call it standards of care, productivity standards. Get the therapist to measure them every week and check in on them every day. There's an earlier podcast where I talk about exactly how to do that. Provide opportunity for your team. Change your ads to be more personable, less details about the job, more on the culture, the environment, and really the only product that you're trying to get out of an ad is a conversation. No one's taking your job off of your ad. The ad gets them to talk to you. My promotion is designed to get people who might want to talk to me to talk to me. It doesn't mean that someone's going to be my client. It just gets someone to talk to me. It gives me an opportunity to help them, to get to know them. And perhaps, if it's a good fit, we are working together to help them achieve their goals. Again, have a great one. Catch you on the next one. Thanks so much for hanging in there and catching this particular podcast. I hope you got some things out of this that you can apply to your practice. Here's what I'd like you to do next. I'd like you to go to ptpracticesuccess.com. If what I've been saying to you in these podcasts have been resonating with you, and you would like to know me better, if you would like to just have my ear, throw out some things that are concerning you, and perhaps get some advice that could help you, make an appointment. I will tell you it's the number one way in which I do get new clients, but I won't waste your time. I will help you, regardless of whether we ever work together or not. So go to ptpracticesuccess.com. And let's set up a time to chat. If you like what you heard today, consider our coaching program. Go to ptpracticesuccess.com and click on the link at the top of the page.